Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. You're listening to Cluck, the podcast where Ted Cluck and Josh Loftus talk about the things that make them happy. Because we can. Let's do it. Ted, my man, good to see you. Had to call an audible today.
We did.
Your boy is busy.
Yeah.
He's got a lot going on.
I can see that, man. I can see that. Yeah. A lot of people want a piece of old Josh, you know.
It's true. Yeah, just burning the candle at both ends, man. That's what we're doing.
Absolutely.
But tonight's pretty fun. So I am doing an early birthday celebration.
Nice.
I wanted to ask because this is something that I try to put a lot of thought into. There's something about going to birthday parties where half of me, like, it really depends on what kind of party it is to whether I'm looking forward to it or I'm dreading it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just kind of the same with every event. But I want to tell you, like I want to pose to you kind of what I thought of in terms of a birthday celebration. And I want you to tell me as we've established, a very outgoing introvert would look forward to this or would dread this. And I want you to be honest with me. I want you to be honest with me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I realize, and this is part of the extrovert's responsibility, is I'm surrounded by primarily introverts in my life, in my church, right?
Yeah.
That's just the way that it is. So I'm always very mindful of that, and I want to always give, I always want to give the introvert a way to escape, right?
Sure.
And a way to get out if they need to, right?
We appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So what I'm doing is this. I have basically, I'm heading down after we're done recording here in a couple hours. I'm heading down to the cigar lounge, and I basically invited as many friends as I could think of that I wanted to show up. I told them I am going to be at the lounge from about 5 to 10.
Yeah,
and it's an open house. If you want to come hang out, have a good time, smoke some cigars, get some food, I will be there. If not, no worries. I'll see you at church. That's the party.
Wow.
What
fascinating.
Do you think?
So you're basically throwing like a graduation party for yourself. It's basically
like
a reception.
I open-housed myself. Yeah, I open-housed myself is what I did. Because I didn't want, because here's the thing. As much of an extrovert as I am, I don't like the quintessential birthday party where everyone gathers around, they give you presents, you blow out candles, everybody's like saying happy birthday to you. I'd rather people just show up and have a good time.
Yeah, 100%.
And get to hang out with as many friends as I can as long as they want to be there. So that's the mindset, Ted. And
I have a couple thoughts. One, 5 hours at a cigar lounge, buddy, you're going to be a little green around the gills by the time you leave. You know,
here's the thing. I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I'm not good at many things.
Okay.
Smoking cigars is one of them.
I believe it.
Oh, dude.
I believe it.
I'm going to put down so many cigars tonight.
Wow, man. Dude, your skin, your face is going to be like that turkey on Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Where they cut into it and there's nothing in it but like smoke and like sinew.
Yeah.
That's going to be your face tonight after 5 hours in the lounge. So I will say, as an introvert, I really appreciate that kind of an event.
Okay.
I appreciate the come and go nature of it. Come and go is where I'm at, man. I like it a lot. I want to have the option to leave early if it sucks. If the vibe's not right, I want to just be able to slip out. So I like that. Mm. Dude, here's what I cannot stomach anymore. And you get this at a lot of wedding receptions. You get it at a lot of just a lot of things now. Mm-hmm. Open mic time, where it's like, hey, here's an open mic. Come say a few nice words about Josh, and you get like non-public speakers up there who don't know how to shut up. They don't know how to like find their way into a point. And
trying
it's
to
brutal,
tell some story.
Yeah. And you can't leave in the middle, right? You can't just get up and be like, all right, I've had enough of this. I'm out. Yeah. Like if I find myself trapped in like open mic time, my skin starts to crawl and I start like just fantasizing about sprinting through the doors. You know what I mean?
It's really true. And like that is like if you can get out of the reception before the open mic happens. Yeah. That's like the perfect amount of time because it's open mic is normally, it's normally like after dancing, right? Like you've seen some of the cool stuff. Okay, now it's time for like the best man to get up and start talking and the bridesmaid to cry through her speech. And then it's now, would anybody else like to say anything about the bride and groom? And I'm just like, oh, Lord, please help me.
I know. Because should have left early.
Should have left early, dude.
Dude, you need to be in the car and like almost home by the time that open mic opens up. You 100%. Because that is brutal.
100%. Yeah. But that's the idea of the birthday celebration. Zero pressure.
Yeah.
Come and go as much as you want. Stay for the whole time. Stay for 5 minutes. Enjoy a drink. Enjoy food. Enjoy a cigar. And then go home. Like that.
Dude,
to
it
me,
sounds amazing. It does. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm trying to like change the way birthdays happen. And this is my first year experimenting with an open house concept birthday party.
I love
where
it.
I just want to get together with people.
Let
that
us know
I like.
How it works. Josh, you know what else is a fun time?
Tell me.
Cluck Holiday Merch Drops. Now Cluck Holiday Merch Drops. We have beanies. We have brand new Cluck headbands, athletic headbands. Mm-hmm. I'll drop you links as soon as we get off the air, Joshua. You can put them in the show notes. I have buy it now pages for the beanies, buy it now pages for the headbands. They make an amazing holiday gift, and they are only the finest fabrics and materials as I've been draped in fine fabrics making this merch in time for the holidays. So check the show notes for that. Josh, what else you got for us today, babe?
Well, it was actually an excellent segue that you unwittingly provided to us, Ted, as one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. And the background to this question is this. I am in the middle of some premarital counseling with a couple that met in our young adult group, which is pretty cool. So we're in the middle of that. They're going to be getting married in March. They have asked me to officiate the wedding, which I'm extremely honored and excited about.
Yeah.
But the question to you is this, because I know you and I have been to, and probably, I know at least for me, I'm sure for you as well, been in your fair share of weddings.
Yeah.
And we've seen the spectrum, right? And by way of the segue that you've already provided, I wanted to ask you to recall some make or break things in a wedding that either make a wedding great or make a wedding absolutely miserable.
Okay.
And you can go like, hey, you give us a story of the best wedding you've ever been to, the worst wedding you've ever been to, or continue along the rounds of, you know, if they have open mic time, bad part of the wedding, right?
Yeah.
So I've got some ideas, but I wanted to throw it over to you first and hear some of your make or breaks for a good or a bad wedding.
Dude, first of all, I want to talk about where young adult Sunday school class ranks on the Christian erotic pyramid.
Oh,
you know that the Christian erotic pyramid is my...
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
That's my longstanding piece of academic research. I'm going to publish like a 400-page book on it. It's going to be my magnum opus.
Right.
And you know that short-term missions is at the top.
Yep.
Serving at a camp is you know, shortly thereafter. Yep. Where is...
you can call gospel-centered erotica.
Dude, where though is the young adults class on the Christian erotic pyramid? I feel like it's kind of a meat market in there. It's kind of like Studio 54 in the 70s. Yeah, you know?
Dude, it is up top, and like where I'm trying to place it right now is it better or worse than actual youth group? Because the thing with youth group is you have all the hormones, but they can't really do anything about it. Young adults, right? They've kind of worked through some of those things, but now they're at their age where they can get married. They can actually do something about it, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's kind of a neck and neck, kind of depends on the demographic of your church, but it's high on the list, my friend. I'm actually surprised that we haven't had more couples yet.
Yeah, it depends on who you are. So, like,
yes.
If you're like strumming acoustic guitar under a tree with your shirt off guy, then youth group is really good for you.
Youth group's the place for you, man.
But you can't do that in Sunday school. Like,
No.
Dude, my youth group met in a gym and I could dunk a basketball. So, like, youth group is pretty good for me.
You were choice meat, man.
I wasn't acoustic guy though, no. And I always ranked below acoustic guy, but I could yam that basketball down. So
I feel like artsy guys, like, it is the age of artsy guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
So artsy guys have finally, I think, trumped the jocks.
Yeah,
whereas,
they have.
I mean, for a long time the jocks ruled the roost.
I know,
right?
Man. And it was a nice run for us. But
it was a nice
artsy
run.
Artsy guys are having their moment right now.
They really are.
I gotta give them their flowers, you know.
Yes,
they're talking about like how much they love Greta Gerwig and how many times they've read Little Women, and you know. By the way,
their favorite character in Anne of Green Gables.
I have a thing about that, actually.
Are you familiar
with the term performative male?
Performative male?
And do you know what it means?
I don't. So, like, male as in male and female? I'm assuming?
Yeah, yeah.
Not like letters? No,
yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, performative males and
male
and female.
Yeah, like, I that's the Instagram shot where you're pretending to handwrite a letter, you post it, and then you throw the paper away. That's performative male. No, please explain this to me, Ted.
So, a performative male, my students teach me all this, like, Gen Z lingo. So, a performative male is basically what I've just described. The dude who's, like, let me tell you about my matcha tea drink. let me tell you how many Greta Gerwig movies I love. How many times I've read, you know, Little Women, who my favorite character is, you know. So there's this like kind of rubric of like performative male things. And and I've been told that I dress like a performative male sometimes when I wear my like cardigan and scarf.
How does that make you feel?
Dude, it makes me feel a little uneasy, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But then they tell me there's always like one article of clothing that like redeems it. Like I'll wear the cardigan over like a football t-shirt or whatever, and that
There you go.
Yeah, that swings the balance back in my favor. But I was wondering if you were familiar with that term, because I feel like the PNW is probably like filthy with performative males.
Well, I feel like maybe it had to have started in the PNW, no?
I would think so.
I feel like we're like with coffee culture and tech culture.
Yeah.
I mean Washington itself has been at the tip of the spear for both of those things.
The tip of the performative male spear.
Yes. That they do no hunting with. It literally just hangs on the wall.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
They've never used the spear. It's just for the Instagram backgrounds.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have not heard of this term, but now it does cause me pause and cause me to ask, like, what would I be classified as? I'll have to hit my young adults, because my young adults age demographic and your student demographic is going to be the same. So I'm going to have
pretty
to
similar,
go to them and ask.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Ask. Yeah. We might not get to this topic, but here's another concept that my young adults introduced me to.
Yeah, go on.
Have your students introduced you to this concept of someone being a girl's girl?
No, maybe, but go explain it a little bit.
Okay, so there's this whole, I don't know if this is like just my young adults, like if they created it or if it's widespread, but basically there's this understanding of someone who's a girl's girl. Now, a girl's girl can be either a girl or a man.
Yeah.
And what it means is that you have the ability to interact equally with both girls and guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So for example, a guy's guy would be just a complete meathead. Doesn't know how to talk to girls, only knows how to talk to guys, right?
Sure.
And then there's a girl's guy who is a girl who's good to talking to guys, but not very girls.
Yeah.
And then there's a girl's girl, which is at the top of the echelon, Ted. A girl's girl is what you want to be, apparently.
Dude.
It's someone who's just as comfortable talking to females as males.
I'm not going to lie. I think I might be a girl's girl.
Dude, like, they said I was a girl's girl also, which I took as a massive compliment.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable talking to everybody, you know?
And yes.
I think here's the distinction, though. Like,
okay.
I hear girl's girl, and I think, like, one of the gals, you know? Like, that kind
right.
You know, wimpy, performative male. Like, he's basically, like, a woman friend. You know, I asked that
because when they said that I was one, that's exactly where my mind went. And I said, well, I don't want to be that person. They said it has nothing to do with your masculinity and everything to do with your ability to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a high compliment.
Dude, that's a really high compliment. And I think we both, we both maybe are worthy of the girl's girl label. And I never would have heard that phrase come out of my mouth,
Me neither.
We're learning.
This is the first time we are learning, Ted. This is the first time I've said it online. I'm thinking of changing my Twitter bio to pastor, counselor, pipe, you know, cigar enjoyer / girls girl.
Wow.
I'm thinking of just putting it on there. I don't know. I'm thinking of trying it on for size. I'm not sure if I'm quite ready for the social media commitment yet. But
that'd be huge, man. Keep us posted. You know?
I mean, I'm just my
see what kind of reactions you get to that.
So, exactly. Yeah. But all right, so we're going to get back to our original topic for the remainder of the episode here.
Yeah.
Best wedding tropes, worst wedding tropes. I want to hear from you, Ted.
Number one, keep it short.
Yes.
Just keep it short.
Yes.
Nobody wants to be there forever, right?
Yep.
Get in, get out, get done what you need to get done. Keep it short. Number two, for the love of all that's good, no more outdoor weddings. I've had it with outdoor weddings.
You're not an outdoor guy.
No.
You've had it.
No, dude, it's either too hot.
Well, you are in the South. That makes the sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's either too hot or too cold or too wet or too dry. Number three, I'm done with hipster barns. Like, I've had it with hipster barns. It's time for that bubble to burst. Like, we've had a good, it's been a good decade and a half run for hipster barns. Let's go back to getting married in a church. I feel like, is that such a crazy idea? You know, like,
I mean,
I don't understand why two kids who are like deeply committed to a church have to like find a barn on a next to a like a little ditch that they call a man-made lake and call that a wedding venue. I'm not sure why that's a thing, but ready to be done with it. Number four. Do the pictures ahead of time, get them out of the way so it can be seamless between.
Thank you, dude.
Yeah, yes. Seamless between the wedding and the reception.
Yep.
Number five, maybe let me sit with who I want to sit with at the reception. No assigned seating. I've kind of been burned by the assigned seating thing recently. Yeah. And, I think I can pick my own table mates. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So burned as in, and I'll be careful with this because I'm sure there's a story. Burned as in you didn't get to sit with your wife, or burned as in the people you were sitting with, it just did not go well.
Yeah, well, so it was me and my wife and a bunch of randos from like, you know, the bride's family or whatever. Like all the bride's like weird cousins and aunts and uncles. Yeah. And I will give you one highlight from that experience, though. So. Okay. I'm sitting next to this otherwise like kind of innocuous looking middle-aged couple, and the woman gets sat down and she starts pulling like airplane grade little bottles of liquor out of her bag. And it was already an open like beer and wine bar. Not that I know anything about that due to where I work.
No.
Okay.
No,
I just happened to notice. But so she starts pulling these like little bottles of rum and different things out of her bag, and she was just getting hammed up, dude. Just going for
toasted.
It.
Toasted.
Yeah, So that was kind of entertaining at my table. But in a perfect world, I would have been with a few more of my friends. It is what it is. It's a mixed bag. So short, not outdoors, no hipster barn. open seating, do the pictures ahead of time, and I think you got yourself a good wedding. Now, final optional thing. And we talked about this, so I don't want to belabor the point, but it's weird to me that, like, at a Gen Z wedding, all of the music is either from the 1980s or the 1990s. I mean, it seems almost now like they're, like, culturally appropriating my era. You know what I mean? And it might be interesting to have some, like, modern hits. Can we not do a little, like, I don't know, Sicko Mode by Travis Scott or, I don't know, Hall of Fame by Young Dolph or whatever. Like, let's get some modern favorites into the mix. I want to do, actually, Josh, 30 seconds on Sicko Mode. Have you ever heard this song?
I have not. No.
Oh my gosh, dude! Can you do the thing with the thing where you play?
Yeah. Here, let's do
this. Dude, look up Travis Scott Sicko Mode clean.
Clean. Okay.
Yeah.
Travis Scott Sicko Mode clean.
Dude, this was probably my favorite rap song circa like 2 or 3 years ago, and I love it because there's like 3 distinct key changes in it, and each key change is awesome for a different reason.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Let's listen to it if you don't mind.
Right. Yeah, I will. Let me pull it up here.
Yeah, we'll listen to this and then we'll do the Patreon.
Yeah, not a problem.
But yeah, I want to get your response to this. While you're pulling it up, where are you at on rap in general?
I enjoy rap. I'm much more of an older rap guy, 80s and 90s. I like old hip-hop.
I tend to be that too.
Yep.
But this one resonated with me.
Okay. All right. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Astro.
Yeah.
Sun is down, freezing cold.
That's how we already know. When it's here, my dog will
probably do it for a Louis belt.
That's just all he know. He don't know nothing else. I tried to show him. Yeah. I tried to show him.
Here comes my favorite key change.
Yep.
Yep. Gone on you with the pick and roll. Younger flame here, sicko mode.
Oh, yeah.
Make this here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose.
Yeah, oh, I like that beat.
Boys, that's Nike in our coats.
Way too big when we pull up, give me the loot.
Give me the loot.
Was off the Remy, had up at post. Had to end my old town to duck the news. 2-4 hour lockdown, we made no moves. Now it's 4 a.m. and I'm back up popping with the crew. I just landed in, Chase B mixes pop like Jamba Juice. Different color chains, think my jewelry really selling fruits. And they joking, man, know the crackers wish it was a noose.
Sunset.
Surrender, retreat, we all in too deep. Play for keeps, don't play us a week.
Sunset.
Surrender, retreat, we all in too deep.
Dude, I gotta say,
yeah,
I would not expect you to enjoy this kind of music.
Oh, I like it very much.
This is very surprising to me.
Oh, go on, talk about that.
I never took you as a, I guess, modern hip-hop guy. I feel like you, I mean, I know like you like, you know, like kind of like the classic love songs, and then, I mean, you're into 80s metal and things like that. But this type of hip-hop, I feel like, is a very modern thing for you to be dipping into. I'm actually very surprised.
Dude, it gets me moving. Here's the thing. So,
yeah.
And my gateway drug, my on-ramp into this is warm-ups at Lane College. The HBCU where I coach.
Okay.
So a song will be playing during warm-ups, and I'll ask my guys, what is that? I like that. And they'll be like, you know, it's whatever. So I've picked up a few modern ones along the way via the warm-up time at Lane. So otherwise, I probably wouldn't know about it.
Yeah. No, I dig that. I dig that. Yeah. I like I like just some like nice steady backbeats that you can that you can kind of just have in the back of the head, right, while you're warming up. You know, throw the gloves on and hit the bag, that kind of stuff. So that's pretty cool, man. I like that.
Dude, I had the gloves on last night, man. I went 5 rounds.
Did you? How'd it go?
Yeah, it went good. It went good. Yeah,
that's exciting. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome, dude. That's very cool. Well, all right, Ted. I think we should probably hop over to a Patreon, huh? I've got another song that I found that when I heard it, I thought Ted might dig this. So I'm going to show that to you, but it's going to be over on the Patreon. So if you want to hear Ted's reaction to a new love song that I found, you got to head on over there and subscribe to the Patreon. Only $5 a month, $5 holla. That's all it's going to take, guys. And it's an exclusive Cluck Patreon. You get bonus eps. You get this ep early and the video version of this main ep as well. You get that all over on the Patreon, all for $5 a month. It's a steal. And make sure to click in the link in the description of these episodes to get yourself some of that Cluck merch just in time for the holidays. Head into the holidays looking absolutely fly. And get one for your lady or your man as well. And you guys can match in those Christmas card pictures you're all going to send out.
That.
So,
I love that.
Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you on the next episode of Cluck. Later.